Let's go creeping! Welcome to Pinheads of Horror, Episode 2. We are at the luxurious Cat Condo, Chicago, Illinois, home of the Matt Wolf and the Michelle Wolf hyphen Diaz. I am your host, Ed. I am a guitar player in a band called Skullfogger, along with Michelle. She is our singer, and Matt, our producer, is our other guitar player. To my left, I have my esteemed colleagues.
My name is Larry Watanabe, and I write a blog, My Bleeding Eyes. It's about low-budget horror movies.
My name's Andy. I'm a lead singer for a band called Armored Assault, and I'm just a big horror fan.
My name is Luke O'Blaze. I'm one of the personalities on the Metal Experience and recently formed The Forms They Take lead vocalist and a huge horror fan.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and as Ed had mentioned, I'm the lead singer of Skullfogger, and I am a horror enthusiast as well, and that's it.
I'm an obsessed
horror connoisseur.
I would say all that.
So, first order of business, I want to say thank you to everybody who gave us a like on Facebook, everybody who listened to our podcast. A big thank you to Evil Incarnate on Facebook, who shared our page.
Thanks.
With their followers. Thank you guys so much for that. And on Twitter, all you guys that followed us and, you know, retweeted our stuff, we appreciate it. It meant a lot to us. If you guys ever want to promote something on this show, you guys have an open invite. You know how to reach us on Twitter and Facebook. Just do so and we will make it happen. All right. So, first order of business, we're going to go into our news. Last week, news broke that Friday the 13th is going to be made into a TV show on the CW. I have a big problem with this because, one, it's a fucking local cable network, so I don't know how far they're going to take the violence. Anyone who's ever watched a Friday the 13th movie, you know, it's not known for its fucking dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's known for its violence
and boobs.
It's nudity
and camping.
And camping.
Oh god, yes, camping.
The only thing they can't show on TV is the camping. I don't know. My big fear about this happening is that it's going to turn into a Dawson's Creek style horror show. You know, instead of the doo 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 doo, you're going to get. You'll see Jason standing on top of a fucking canoe with his hands in his pockets.
But at the same time, he's writing a letter to that one girl that he just can't get brave enough to talk to.
The girl that he just can't brave himself up to kill.
One day he'll stick it to her.
He walks by, he just drops a knife.
So then, with the new show, is it going to be like the Friday the 13th from TV series from the 90s?
The Canadian series from the 90s? No. That show, I think, I don't want to say this for sure, but I think it pissed off a lot of fans. because I remember the first time I actually saw that show, I was really interested because it was on Sci-Fi Channel. And I'm saying Sci-Fi, not Sci-Fi. This is when it was called Sci-Fi Channel.
Back in my day.
Back in the early 90s. But you know what? The one episode I saw of it at that night was pretty good. I've watched a couple others and... It's a pretty decent show for what it was. But like I said, my big concern is, you know, you have shows now like The Walking Dead, you know, as of lately, Scream, you know, The Strain. Shows that are on actual cable networks that can really, you know, push the violence and push the blood, push the gore and get away with it.
And you can't do that on the CW.
No.
Nope.
So let's go around the room. I want to get your guys' thoughts. I want to go with Pindy first, because I know how much Pindy loves Friday the 13th.
I think it'll be cool. I mean, I don't know. I think it'll... At the same time, it just seems like they're kind of... I mean, playing into the whole, like, how you said Scream is now a series. Isn't there another one that they turned into a series recently?
That's a horror?
Yeah.
Hannibal?
Like, I mean,
they
did
that.
Yeah,
I mentioned Hannibal before.
Hannibal, I would say it's gone really well, and it's been... I haven't really watched much of it, but I know it's gruesome. I mean, mm-hmm. It's stylish, though.
The gruesomeness in that show is very stylish, as opposed to just hacking and slashing.
Yeah, and also the CW is obviously kind of like, it's streamlined towards young adults who may not have grown up in the same franchise that we did, so they're probably going to try to like give it like the sexy feel, kind of like witty, smart, kind of like play, you know, tongue-in-cheek kind of thing of what Scream is doing. So it may completely just revamp it to that, but then again, it will probably suck for people like us who are out that point, who actually have these idealisms of what it should be from back in the day, where it's just, like you said, not known for its scriptive, but just, like, really creative kill scenes and just being fun. So that's, I think, the main fear, is that is it going to be one of these cheesy, you know, high school romance with a little bit of, like, you know, knife stabbing,
yeah.
Or is it going to be something that actually all the fans in it from the day and maybe new fans can actually enjoy and appreciate?
So, is this actually going to feature Jason every week going around slashing?
See, they haven't really specified. I think there was some talk about it being, like, you know, some of his origins.
So, Psycho? Like, you know, like, that idea?
Yeah, like Bates Motel, maybe? I don't know. I mean, it's... They said it's in early development, so that could mean anything. You know, one fear people should have of this, though, is... What they've talked about with Scream, the Weinstein brothers have said, we're done making Scream movies. Scream is now for the MTV generation. And that's really shitty if you think about it, because you have a movie series that redefined horror, in my opinion. You know, the slasher genre was pretty much in the ground, dead. I mean, before that, the last major slasher movie you had was... You had Halloween 6 come out around that time, and you had Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And that was kind of it. And then Scream came by, and it was just a fucking punch to the face for horror. You know, it introduced rules that we were not privy to before. And it really changed the game in a sense, because, you know, it brought the whole dynamic of... Really, like, for the new generation, like Penny and I were talking about last week, like, it brought the whole rules of horror to the forefront of, this is what you do if you want to live, this is what you do if you die, you know?
Well, the rules that fans had, like, watching it, like, people like us, like, don't ever say you're going to come back, because you know every time you watch a horror movie, that's what you do. So they actually, you know, addressed that in Scream, and that's what made it interesting, is like, you know, if you were in this horror movie, what would you be doing? And, like, how would you handle it? But be funny, kind of like witty about it.
And that's one thing I did really love about Wes Craven. He had such a way with making movies like that. Well, he didn't like write it or anything. It was written by someone else. But all right, Larry, anything you want to add?
No, I would not want to see this. I would see it maybe if I was on Cinemax.
Skinamax.
Yeah, I mean, for any of these Friday the 13th movies, you need...
Well, see, you know what, though? That's a good... My other problem with it would be is I'm about instant gratification. I want it, and I want it now. Like the Evil Dead series. That's going to be hard for me to watch because I don't want to have to wait a week to see what happens next. I want it all now. And, you know... I don't know, aside from me and Luco, who is braving the Scream series to, you know... I'm doing it because I want fodder for the show. I don't know.
I think I'm behind one episode.
Yeah, you're not missing much.
How many are out?
It's a 10-episode season, and they're on episode 7, I think was the last
one. Already?
Night.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The mask isn't as scary, and it really is... I mean, you have no idea who the hell...
Well, I read an article about that where they wanted to, like, actually to tear away from the mask from the original movie because they wanted to try to create this other thing that it's not about that particular story.
But you know what, though? You hear the word Scream, like us, and we picture that mask instantly. Like
It's iconic.
Yeah, exactly. It's iconic.
And now the mask they have is like,
this mask looks like it's from a burnt up blow up doll.
That's kind of terrifying. How did it get burned?
A sex toy?
I mean, seriously, if you take a close look at it, it's a surgical burn mask, but at the same time, it's like, what the fuck is that? Like, I wouldn't really be terrified of that. I'd be like, dude, come on.
Yeah, it's not as scary as the original mask, I don't think.
Well, the original mask wasn't scary either until
there was a knife in it. Yeah. I was going to say, because that was a Halloween mask that had existed for years. Yeah. It's just a ghost mask.
Like, it was a novelty mask. They found it at a fucking novelty shop somewhere. And look at it now. I mean, the people who designed that costume are probably, you know, millionaires right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what makes it really interesting about movies like that when you think about the Michael Myers mask and what mask that was. It wasn't that supposed to be like
a William Shatner mask that they painted white.
And then a hockey mask, which is not even a horror mask.
Yeah.
And now when you look at those, you know, images, it's the first thing you think of.
I completely forgot that that mask had been around before the Scream movies. Mm-hmm. Man, so long ago. But yeah, that's kind of funny. My take on the new Friday the 13th series is I am down. I'm down for anything because I want fucking horror flicks and anything to do with that all the time. Even though the Scream series isn't as good as I wish it was, it's still entertaining and I'm going to watch them regardless if they're terrible or awesome.
Luco, I love your enthusiasm.
Yeah,
those of you who are never here to see this, this is one reason why I love Luco so much is because he comes in and he has like a notepad of stuff. Like, I could see it from here. He's got like a fucking full page of this, a full page and a half of this little notepad.
Not me, bud. It's all up here.
This is a steel trap right here. Yep. What was that you were saying, Luco, about your notepad? It was really cool.
It's the Halloween VHS tape that someone cut up and made it into a notepad.
Oh, that is cool.
That's a great idea.
Even the back.
And then the middle part, like where, you know, the side it said VHS on it, that's the only reason why I knew it was a tape.
Look.
And, here, I'll just throw that on.
It's ruined!
It came with the little middle strip that said VHS as like a bookmarker, and I was like,
oh, that's cool.
All right,
cool.
Okay, so now I'm using a Van Halen book I'm reading.
I wish the bookmark actually said, please be kind.
Panama, Paradise Lost by Van Halen. We're going to go to our next topic. It was also revealed that there is going to be a reboot to the Nightmare on Elm Street
series.
A lot of people did not like the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. I was 50-50 with it. It was refreshing to see Freddy Krueger as a sinister character again. And because I think over the years he just became too comical, too slapstick, and you know that led to a lot of the entertainment in the movie. Is, you know, I think when he said "Welcome to Primetime, bitch," that's like one of the most quotable things you can, you know, have from a movie series. To have him as this just sinister character that he was in the original is really interesting. One thing that I think really kills some of these remakes is the fact that this new generation is kind of desensitized already. Like, when Nightmare on Elm Street came out, you know, how fucking terrifying is it that the one place where you expect to be safest, the one place where you really have no control, you know, when you're asleep, is the place where you're vulnerable the most. I think the one problem with doing a remake now is they just released a movie, what was it, 2-3 years ago? At this point?
It's probably about 2 years.
Maybe longer.
Well, they do all the work. Like,
you know, they're not giving it enough time to kind of breathe. And
they're doing this, trying to reboot it too close to where it last left off. So yeah, you're right. It does need some more time to breathe. But I think all these companies and they just want to make a quick dollar. But of course.
What's dumb is they're rebooting it, and they just remade it. So are they remaking the remake again?
No, like, you know why? That's a really good point you brought up, because when they do these reboots or remakes, recalibrate, whatever the fuck they're calling them now.
But you could call it but with this, it's very specific, because you could say reboot. Is that, are they making a completely new movie, or are they telling the backstory for the third time, which everyone already knows?
Well, you know, my problem too with this is, when you go from original to remake, a lot of things get lost in translation. The story changes a lot. You know, thankfully his story didn't change. It changed a little to the fact of he played innocent about being a child molester a little bit.
And then he wasn't.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of a cool reveal, like the fact that they kind of teased you with it. Because if, in case he wasn't, yeah, that would have fucked with the story a lot, but...
And you felt sad for him for just a minute.
And you're like, oh, that's... Well,
you know, you're like, the reason, fuck that guy.
The reason why is because if they changed the story of it to he was innocent and killed for this by this angry mob, well, fuck, man, he has a whole new modus operandi to do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of justifies a little bit, which, in a sense, you're never supposed to justify...
No.
An antagonist's role in a movie. But I thought it was kind of an interesting take where it's, you don't know until like the very end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this might actually lead us in our next topic. I think remakes can bring a lot of new stuff to the table too. One great example of that is The Thing, which is a remake, or even, who knows, a reboot, but before that was even
I would call that one a reboot.
But see how much different that is to the one before? I'm talking about The Thing from the 50s.
Okay.
Then The Thing, then John Carpenter's The Thing, not the one, the prequel. I'm talking about that remake.
Okay, alright. Well, yeah,
you see how different that movie is compared to the next one. So I think, yes... That remakes could be good, and they could change a lot in the story, and they can still be good. That's a good example.
How many years? That was like a 40-year.
40 years,
like
probably
a
30.
Year difference, which is what's going on with the old. That's like decades, and like writing and storytelling and blocking and things like that have a different meaning to it. But the thing, that second thing, is my favorite thing.
But you know, sometimes. One remake that I like to talk about as being fucked up, and, you know, I really hate to say this, was My Bloody Valentine, the remake they did of that.
Because I liked it. I was sad, dug it.
The reason why I didn't like it was because they pushed so much for the 3D angle on it.
Everything was 3D at that time, though.
That's why I didn't like it. It was kind of like where...
But that was like living in, you know, in the 80s when they had Friday the 13th 3D. It's like...
And I saw that in the theater, too.
Yes.
They had Piranha 3DD. Come on, man.
I saw that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, the I did like the story of the remake. I did not like the whole... This is one thing that drives me fucking crazy in horror movies. When they do the whole mental illness, it was me all along thing.
That could work sometimes. Actually, I'm trying to think of a movie where it works.
High Tension?
It does work in there, too. But yeah, there are some movies where it does work, but sometimes it's just like, hey,
Session
9. Let's throw it at the end. Who knows?
Silent House,
yeah.
Session 9.
Right.
I don't know. Just hearing one of the actors talk about the movie, when he's like, everything had to be so specific about us hitting our marks, doing this, it's like, okay, are you fucking advertising for 3D, or are you advertising for the movie? I mean, one thing the movie did have, which I am a big fan of in horror movies, this sounds really morbid and fucked up, if there's a scene where there's, like, just a mass, like, a giant massacre somewhere in the movie, then it's like, okay, that's, you know, it sets the vibe of, you know...
The rest of it.
Yeah. Like, The Collector.
Yeah, you knew what to expect from there.
The Collection.
The Collection.
That the beginning scene with that part where the thing comes down. Oh, that's awesome.
As
it just mows down.
Yes, it's just like. Rah, 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 rah.
I like that scene even more because I'm like, fuck those clubs. I hate techno music. I'm like, you know what? Take them all out.
I bet Luca was waiting to get outside one of those episodes. Yeah, yeah, you feel big now not letting me in? I could have saved you.
Then trip.
Even, you know, we're getting off subject remakes, but even like, you know, Hellraiser 3. You know, the
bar scene.
The bar scene.
That's great.
It was great. Because you got to see the creation of a few new Cenobites.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's true. Now the blood comes out from under the door. CDI.
One of my... Another remake that I want to bring up is Last House on the Left. Mm. This was a Wes Craven remake. I don't know if this was his first film. Larry, I don't know if you know
I think it's really early in his career. I'm not exactly sure.
I did hear somewhere that they actually could not get an MPAA rating, so they actually just wrote it themselves, rated R, on the posters. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad was amazing. Having a role where he doesn't say bitch every 5 minutes, though. It was like I wanted him to just yell bitch after every sentence, like he does on Breaking Bad. So, going around the room, as always, give me your guys' favorite remakes.
I want to go on with that. I actually had the pleasure of watching the remake in the theater sitting next to my father, which was one of the most awkward things I've ever experienced in my life. Sitting next to him, it's like, all right, this rape scene's going on, and this is weird. And I'd seen the original, so I knew what to expect.
Did you just nudge your dad and say, you want to go get a beer after this?
It's very artistic, the way she clenches the grass and pain.
Very awkward. Yeah.
Beautiful cinematography. Yeah, you have no excuse
bonding
in that one.
Moment.
That was.
Did you go fishing afterwards?
No, after the movie, I was like, man, I really wish I didn't watch that movie with you. Not enjoyable.
Favorite remake is tough. I mean, are we talking like remake or reboot?
Either or.
I mean, to me, there's a difference. A reboot is going to be the same characters,
remake.
Things like that. But, I mean, it can change a like, different story. I mean, to me, a remake is going to be almost the same exact fucking story.
Well, that's a remake, yeah. A reboot would
I mean,
be a completely...
Yeah, like,
trans.
Evil Dead, to me, is not a remake. That's a reboot.
But it's good.
Okay.
But, I mean, as far as, like, a remake... I mean, as much as I really don't like them, I do think Halloween was a good remake. I mean, just for how graphic it was and how... I mean, it was cool to see an updated version of all the old scenes and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I definitely enjoyed it.
One thing I did really enjoy with the Halloween remake was... you know, a lot of people say you shouldn't give evil a face or you shouldn't give, like, evil an origin. Which, you know, through Carpenter's entire, you know, tenure of that film series... He said, there is no rhyme, no reason. It's just pure evil. That's all it is. But then you take Rob Zombie's version and you see this kid who grows up in this horrible household environment where he's, you know, beaten by his stepfather. His mother's a stripper. His sister's a whore. You know? It's like, fuck, man, no wonder.
It makes a little more sense.
And we all probably knew a kid like that in school, too, growing up.
Well, didn't they say that originally when they
I thought it would
that,
be funny.
They did his character in two different ways, and one way was where he was going to be more relatable and talk, and the other one, they didn't want him to actually have any dialogue. They wanted him to be this, like, standoffish, like, he's just fucked. Like, he's a terrible person from the very beginning.
You saw it as it kind of went along. Like, he, you know, was very open, like, in the beginning of the movie, when he would talk to Loomis, and they would... But then you would see he would have these moments where he would just fucking black out and go crazy. Like, he would get just savagely angry and just start screaming, fuck it, Dr. Loomis, and... damn right! even the scene with the nurse, you know, the nurse makes a disparaging comment, and what does he do? He takes a fork and jabs it into her neck.
Well, doesn't the scene open up also with him, like, having different multiple dead pets, like...
Well, they find out... You find out that he, you know, has taken pictures of animals he's killed and tortured, which, you know, a lot of people have theorized that that is a sign for, you know...
Yeah. Psychopath behavior?
Yeah, psychotic behavior. Sorry. It's been a long day. So I thought that was interesting, giving it like a more mental kind of tone to it, like a more of a
sounds like it's humanizing the character.
Yes. God damn it. I don't know what my problem is today.
It's okay. But I got you, boo.
Are you saying that you like that? Because I would say Michael Myers to me shouldn't be humanized. Michael Myers to me should be like a killing machine.
Not so much humanized, but I don't think humanized is the right word, but it...
It makes you sympathize for him, which, that's again, I don't think should happen. You should... He should be...
You shouldn't have any morals.
Yes.
Exactly.
Doesn't make him as immortal as originally he was.
He's evil. He's supposed to be the essential of evil.
He's supposed to be fueled by the devil.
There you go. I want the devil-fueled... Fire pissing.
Not like, oh, my mom was a stripper. I don't know. Like, I'm angry and I'm gonna kill my whore sister. Like, I don't know. Like, to me,
emo Michael Myers.
Yeah, I would say it definitely made him seem like a just angry little kid who.
It just, to me, it just added something to it. You know, like from like watching the entire series and you know them trying to put a face on this evil or an identity by this evil. And really, you know, again, they shot themselves in the foot and they fell flat on their faces with it because in some sequels they would do it, in other sequels it's like, ah, fuck this idea, we're just going to go back to what worked. Which is fine, because it worked.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, you're negating these other movies that you made that have story and plot, and now you just have these other versions here that you could build off of, but you're not going to. So... I don't know, that's kind of what I liked about the remake was it was something we never saw before. We never saw the childhood of Michael Myers. It was always...
Which, that's what I mean, that's what I enjoyed about it. That it didn't make me like the series more or anything. It was, to me, it was just kind of interesting. It was a cool take on everything. That's what I mean, like, I didn't love the movies, but I thought they were cool.
I enjoyed them, yeah.
But to me, I mean, some point, especially, yeah, when you add in the whole background story of Michael Myers, I mean, you could have switched it up a little bit and called it something completely different, and, I mean, it's just a slasher movie with, like, an angry kid. Again, it's, I don't know.
A little clicky card.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, too? It's more of the acting job that the kid who was playing Michael Myers, you know, he really, like, had an idea of what he... wanted to do as Michael Myers, and
like, he was creepy as hell.
He was.
Oh no, he was creepy.
His eyes,
very
creepy.
Just and the whole idea, these eyes will deceive you. the whole concept of him making the mask to hide his face from childhood, I thought was kind of a cool idea, because that was something never really touched on in any of the movies. It was
why he was so close to like a mask and stuff, and I would say like, there's only like. Few seconds in any movie that like he's without a mask before he puts it back.
Yeah, he's
on.
Like he's like Linus. He needs it as a security. It's a security blanket.
Yeah.
Okay. Larry.
Well, I can't say that this is my original idea. I think I heard this or I read this from somewhere. Someone said, "Why are they remaking and rebooting good movies? Why don't they just remake?" Movies that weren't so good the first time around, and maybe you can make them better. So, I do like remakes, but I would like to see that happen.
Anything in particular?
There is actually a zombie movie from the 80s. It's called Zombie Massacre, and it's really low budget.
Oh my god.
I don't know if you ever heard of this director. His name is Todd Sheets, and he did tons and tons of low-budget handheld camera movies. And this was one of them, and I liked the story in it, which there was a story.
Did he do Redneck Zombies too, or...?
No, I don't think he did that one.
Okay. No.
But the story goes is that these two rival gangs in the city try and resurrect their fallen gang members so they can fight each other. And they do that, then the whole... like city gets overrun with zombies, and I mean the budget was really low. So, but I think if they tightened up the script and had added to the story a little more, then I think it might be at least a bigger budget than they originally had, which was probably about like $3,000. They were to get like $100,000, $200,000 low budget, I think they could do well and maybe make a decent movie out of that.
Like Kickstarter or like GoFundMe.
That would be awesome to see, but one thing that I really, I'm noticing this, and I know you and I talked about this later, we were going to try to bring this into a debate one of these days. The difference between doing things independently but then having the support of a big studio. Mm-hmm. It just seems like when a big studio gets involved, things get fucked up.
Yeah.
Because you're paying for this person to, you know, tell this person what to do. You're paying for that person to tell this person what to do. And it just seems like you have so many hands in the pot.
Yeah.
That it gets just screwed up.
Yeah, and I think also a lot of the people who are ahead of on top of these companies really don't know
they're not about horror, movies. They're not horror fans.
Or even horror movies at the very least, or the
they're,
most.
They're guys that want to advance what? In a career they think they're going to be good at, and they're not because...
Ah, Saw movie, huh? Ooh, yeah, all right, let's make a Saw too. Slice up some more girls, and we're good.
Ah,
made
see?
Some more money off that. Here's $10 million.
Oh, well, like I said, we'll just rework them.
Fuck
yeah.
It. Here's 15. Do it in 3D. Yeah, that's how it pretty much goes.
There's the blood of the kids. A lot.
Yeah. So the last one, he was shot in the face. That's gonna be a tough nut to crack.
Hmm.
How about this? She grazed his face. I'm referencing Halloween 1 going into Halloween 2. Anyway, Michelle.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't you know, we're going back to the last podcast with the Canadians. And
yeah. Try to grab me by the sleeping bag. Ain't going to work.
All right, what's the question again?
Oh, well, thanks for paying attention.
No. I just, because we seem to keep kind of segueing into other things, I want to make sure I'm on the right topic here. Are we talking about budgets? Or are we talking about reboots?
No, we're still on the
reboots.
I like Larry's idea about doing movies that no one's heard, or really bad movies, but I think you just answered your own question about producers. The reason why good movies get remade is because they were good, and that's why big budget companies are going to continue to try to like milk the hog for that. Because
absolutely,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
shut up.
I mean, and it is kind of hard to grasp because one of my favorite movies of all time is The Thing, but it's The Thing remade. And that's always going to be the first thing to me. And it's weird because now in the way things are, they're doing remakes so quickly on top of each other. Where it's like a movie will just come out 5 years ago, and now they'll remake it again or reboot it like X-Men or like... You know, what the hell is happening? There's so many cats. I think that there's certain movies that when they're remade can be good. Like I did like Evil Dead. But it was not the same film. But it had the soul.
I would call a reboot.
That would be
a reboot.
Because it had the soul of, you know, the Evil Dead. So
it's an homage to...
Oh, don't get me started, homage. But then you got, like, there's so many terrible ones that come out. Like, what was that one with Keanu Reeves? The Day the World Stood Still. And like,
that's a remake.
I know that's a remake.
A really shitty remake.
Has anyone seen the original?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good.
I'm choking on my own rage here. Yeah, you know what? I didn't like that remake because it was just so fucking typical of like a Hollywood movie to put in their own agenda of, you know, you're killing your Earth. We're going to destroy you before you destroy your own planet. Go fuck yourself, Keanu. I think you're great, but you know what? Go back to your home fucking planet.
Go back, you giant metal man.
Go find Alex
Winter. Go back, Littlest Smith.
Go back to your fucking phone booth and go find Alex Winter and get on that Bill and Ted 3.
For a second, I thought you were talking about a different show when you said phone booth.
I'm really embarrassed to admit this. When I saw that there was a Lost Boys on Netflix a few years ago, I'm like, they didn't remake this, did they?
Mm-hmm.
I was relieved to find out it was just a sequel.
Yeah, it was two sequels.
They're not that good.
They're not. They have
They could have been better.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? They have the appeal of the, you know, the Frog Brothers.
Yeah. That's what was cool. That's what they could have made better. Were the coolest fucking characters in that movie. And they're like, oh, these guys are lame in this one. And the storyline was following this little bitch around and like pussy.
Yeah. And everything was too bright. It was supposed to be at nighttime.
You know, another remake that I saw recently is The Town That Dreaded Sundown. But the weird thing is, I don't know if you can categorize it as a reboot or a sequel, because they actually reference the film.
The first movie. That's why I would... they're rebooting it. They're not remaking it. They're rebooting it.
Because they
talk about it throughout the whole movie.
Right.
You know? I thought it was also awesome.
It was. It was really good. Like, even the kills were, you know, they weren't over the top, but they were very, very personal. you know, my favorite scene in that movie would probably be the gas station scene when people are just getting picked off.
The old gas stations.
Alright, anyone else have anything they want to add to the remake discussion?
Has anyone seen the new Poltergeist? The remake?
Okay. Nope. I have not. We were supposed to see it. Pity and I were
Has
supposed
anyone
to see
seen
it?
Because I have not either.
All I've heard I've heard is not great things.
No, that's kind of the deterrent was that it's not. And that first one is so creepy for so many different reasons.
And I like Sam Raimi. And I don't want to.
And I love Sam Rockwell too. Like,
I want to get all mixed feelings on it. So I'd rather just avoid it.
Can I say some remakes I'm looking forward to?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Funhouse 3 fucking D.
Yeah, wow.
Excited for the 3D.
3D, the Birds, they're remaking the Birds. I'm looking forward to that one. So, you know, that one could be hit or miss. You know, I don't want to mess the original, but still.
Yeah,
no,
because there's not real birds and she's not actually going to be tortured. Yeah. Pandemic 2, or 3, or whatever.
The Amityville, I don't know if that's a remake or
a reboot of
the series, but. The Awakening. Oh, yeah. I don't know why they would remake the remake. I thought the remake, that one was pretty good.
You like the remake?
Ryan Reynolds. I like that one. I thought it wasn't bad.
I'm crazy, Ryan.
you know what? Ryan Reynolds is very hit or miss with me. Because in Blade Trinity, he annoyed the shit out of me.
I liked him then.
He was fucking annoying.
He was the comic relief.
Everything about that movie was kind of terrible.
You're gonna hate Deadpool.
No, I like Deadpool because that's what...
That's who
you know what to expect with Deadpool. With him, it's like, you know, everything he says, he has to smile and tilt his head like it's the funniest fucking thing. You're not funny!
Deadpool's gonna be the same, except you won't be able to see him smile.
Which I think works. I think I'm okay with that. Because then he's also going to be slicing somebody up and then saying something. I don't know. I laughed out loud when I watched the preview for it.
Oh, yeah.
So
I did enjoy the Deadpool Red Band trailer.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
Okay. All right. Next thing I want to discuss is Anthology.
Explain what an Anthology is.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with this.
Okay, anthologies are basically multiple stories within one story. They can be interlinked together, like Trick or Treat was.
Creepshow. You've got Tales from the Dark Side, Tales from the Crypt. Well, that was more of a TV show.
Yeah,
but you should get the gist from that one.
Okay, Body Bags.
Body Bags.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Did you guys watch it?
Yeah, I've seen Body Bags.
I thought the best actor in that was John Carpenter.
Being the mortician.
Yeah.
Is VHS one of them too, right? I mean,
VHS,
VHS kind of falls in that two categories. It's like found footage anthology.
Yeah.
But it's an art that's being created.
It's still an anthology, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
the ABCs.
Michelle.
ABCs of Death, that's another one.
Did anyone like that, though?
No.
I thought that was a...
I like certain stories.
I was going to say, I thought some of it was cool.
Some of it was
like,
not.
Maybe two of the stories I liked. But once I get to the Brazilian woman stomping on kittens, I was kind of over it.
See, even Luna was like,
oh. I'm out. This is upsetting for my cat.
And, you know what? I didn't like the first one so much, and I'm really terrible at, like, even if I've watched a terrible movie, I'll always watch the rest of the series of them. I won't even bother with ABCs of Death 2 because I
go for it.
Didn't like ABCs of Death 1 that much.
There's some pretty good ones in there.
If I watch it and I hate it, I'm coming after you, Larry.
Dude, well,
I'll see you in 2 weeks. There's a couple good ones. One of them is by this one director. He did this really, really low budget movie called Manborg.
Ooh. Oh my god, Manborg director.
He did a piece in this. He did one of the short stories in it, and it's based on 80s action figure commercials. Where they would always show, like, a couple kids in a sandbox playing with their action figures, like, oh, Duke's gonna take on Cobra today. It's kind of like that, but the commercial kind of brings them into, like, the dimension of the place of the action figures they're playing with. Kind of like, they're like He-Man figures. And they get sucked into this world, and all the characters that they're playing with are there with them, and from there, it just gets really weird, and it's a pretty cool little story.
So would you say the second one's better than the first one?
Yes.
I thought the first one had so much potential, and it reached none of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. It was like, it was such an awesome idea, and then you watch it, it was like, that sucked.
Especially when you got the letters, and you're just like, that's what you came up with, letter?
To me,
like,
the first one is more so about, like, shock value, I think. Yeah. The second one, I think they kind of went and realize, hey, okay, well, people might actually be into this. Like, we can put a little bit more substance to it than.
And even from the second one, too, there was supposed to be this little segment in there called Turbo Kid. It was a short story first, and it was supposed to be an ABCs of Death, but then another movie, another short story, edged it out. But the guy got a movie deal from this 3-minute movie called Turbo Kid, and now it's a feature-length movie coming out in, I think, next week or the week after.
And it's a horror. I don't even remember. I remember seeing the trailer for it. I'm like, okay.
Well, it wasn't in ABCs of Death 1 or 2. It was one of those finalists that just didn't make it in. But I think he put it up on YouTube or promoted it, and someone saw it and was like, oh, well, this movie looks pretty crazy. Like, let's make a full length.
Turbo
and
Kid.
Yeah, watch the preview for it. Michael Ironside is the bad guy. So
I think that's probably why I said, I'll give it a go.
Oh, yeah, he's
Michael
in it.
Ironside.
Yeah. See you at the party, Richter. Yeah, I love that guy.
Okay, what do you guys think of VHS?
I love it. All three of them.
I liked them. I thought, especially, like the first one, I mean, I really dug. The second one, I'm trying to think of, like, the overall story for the second one.
The second one was two private investigators are...
Yeah, they're in the house.
Yeah.
I liked that one. I thought the third one, it was different. I don't know, the ending was just kind
of
weird.
The third one was, like, more of a social commentary.
I was going to say, I felt like it was...
Social media one.
Because then at the end, it's the... Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty messed up. Is what the whole time isn't the dude, like, looking for his girlfriend or something?
Yeah, his girlfriend is taken
in the
van. In
that
truck.
Van, yeah.
And then he presses the button.
Okay,
I like the first one the best because when I watched it, you really have no idea what is going to happen because it's the most outrageous stuff that's happening. It's like, what? That happened? So I think the first one was the best because it really.
And it was scary.
Yeah.
It was a scary
movie. What to expect. I thought
that
was
cool, like how they did the thing with the succubus with the where she flies away with the dude.
You know,
and they show the behind the scenes with the balloon that they like attach to a camera or some shit to like.
There's actually I actually have some news. I read somewhere that they're actually giving that short its own movie.
Oh wow!
Really.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I actually felt like I wanted to know more about it, but it's like, I guess that was one of the.
Well, you know what?
I feel like dragging that out into an hour and a half could be kind of dangerous, though, too.
Yeah.
Well,
like
you know what, though? Through that short, that is actually one of my favorites. That's the next question I'm going to ask you guys, what your favorite shorts are from VHS, but that is one of my favorites because she is just such a presence. Even when she's not the main focal point, She just stands out, and
her
she's
eyes
just,
and
shit. Yeah, she's just fucking creepy.
She just says the same thing.
And if you know any of our looks, that'd be like the chick we would pick up.
She does have very interesting features. She's a unique actor. So, I mean, I like that because, I mean, you can always get the usual blonde bombshell girl, but she looks like, you know, someone you might know.
She's plain, but she's very sexy.
She has
a
presence. Like,
yeah,
she
is.
She's definitely a presence.
Like, she demands you to look at her. And
at those eyes.
Yeah, that's all she does.
Eyes, man.
You know, it's like she knows they have the camera because she's just staring directly at it, which I don't know if she was nervous or, but, you know.
But it's interesting how, like, they move her features into it, so you see that split, like, they like, manipulate that fact, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
So going through the entire series of VHS, I remember first seeing an advertisement for VHS, like, a poster for it, and I'm like, huh, this looks really interesting, because, you know, as of right now, VHS has been a dead medium for how long? Almost a decade?
Almost, yeah.
So to see this kind of movie is very interesting. And I remember when VHS came out, I saw it on Netflix. And I'm like, you know, I've heard so many things about this movie. I just want to check it out. And I was blown away. I thought it was really, really good. The main story in the first VHS, like Larry said, it's really creepy. It's... Yeah.
That guy's sitting on the chair, then all of a sudden he's not on the chair anymore, and there's just those... Just imagine all those VHS tapes had actually something on there, and to just watch them. I'm kind of put myself into that world.
What's the story of it? It's, you know, they say you have to watch them in a certain sequence to... Like, something is... They say it in the second one, when the redhead detective chick is watching them.
Right.
She's like, you have to watch them in a certain sequence to understand what they are. Anyway, my favorite is one of my other favorites is the second VHS 2. It is the guy who gets the prosthetic eye.
Yeah, that's Adam Wingard. That's his
segment. That story, God, that was fucking creepy. Just imagine, you know, it's almost like an It Follows kind of thing. You can see them, but no one else can, and that's all you can see.
It's really weird, and it creeped me out too. And she's like, "Oh," and then he meets that girl who can see him too, and she's like, "Oh, don't pay attention to him.
Yeah,
that's my uncle or whatever.
They won't do anything to you."
Yeah, but I did like that story too.
One of the other ones that I really did like was in the first one. It was actually the last story of the first one.
That's the scariest one.
Yeah. The overall one where, like, the house is collapsing and all that?
Yeah, where the hands are coming
like
out of the walls.
I thought that was
awesome. That's the Halloween one. Where
That one's the creepiest and scariest one. That one creeped me out.
I definitely like that. And, I mean, the whole scene where they go up and there's, like, a black mass ceremony going on in the attic and shit. Like, it was definitely... It was creepy, and I like how they have, like, a lot of different elements in that last one, too, where, there's that, there's just, like, the shit where, like, there's the girl that they randomly run into on the street.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that was a really cool story. The first one, to me, still was, I mean...
Yeah, it's the best.
Is the best. Even the one where, the guy and his girlfriend or wife, they're on the road trip, and then the chick that keeps coming into their room while they're sleeping. Like,
yeah, that was creepy.
That's what I mean. Like, I like the fact that it wasn't even, like, sure, like, what, she stabs him a bunch at the end or whatever. But, I mean, like, it's not, like, all blood and guts. It's just fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Like, you know that this girl is watching them sleep, and, like... At first, you don't know it's a girl, I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't think you find
that
out.
That she's in cahoots.
Until she looks in the mirror with the camera or whatever. But, like, it's definitely creepy. And that's what I love about it, is that they have all those kind of different, like... Again, they have, like, the succubus, which is kind of like a monster-type story, I guess. Like a supernatural monster. You have the creepy chick who comes into the room. You have, like, the...
The slasher.
Slasher stuff.
The slasher one.
Satanic.
The FaceTime one or
Skype
one?
Oh, that one was fucking
good.
That
was a creepy one, too.
There was another one. Which one was it in? damn it. There we go. In VHS, I want to say it was 2, maybe?
The GoPro?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, the zombie,
zombie GoPro?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Fun.
Well, you know what's
one.
Interesting is, you know, you see it all from... You never really see the beginning of the outbreak. You know what I mean? Like, you never see how it starts. You never see, like, the unsuspectingness of people.
Right.
When it, like, okay, we're so desensitized from, you know...
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead and this whole fucking zombie culture that has...
Well, that's the beauty of, like, Night of the Living Dead and things like that.
Yeah.
It is very simple. They see what they see the guy in the... They hear it over the radio or something, and then they see the guy
in the cemetery.
I mean, the first part is, yeah, they go to the cemetery, and the guy walks up. They're coming to get you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
But, yeah, I understand that, like, World War Z, it's just you're right into the shit.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was...
The book, well, I read
the book. Yeah, I never read
the
book.
Yeah, I read the book also.
The book is not that. I mean, it's completely different.
It's not at all.
Right.
It's just... I think there was just such oversaturation with... you know, the whole zombie genre.
Yeah, it was a blockbuster zombie movie. Like, it wasn't... Yeah. To me, it was meant to be for the mass, not
and
for...
And it was PG-13.
Yeah, it was.
They had an unrated version.
Oh, yeah.
I see a little more
blood.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, the GoPro one... One of the most frightening parts of the GoPro one is when he goes after those other two bikers and he just... You see the guy literally going into shock as he's being eaten. And
it was
probably the most fucked up thing in VHS to see is when he bites the dude's fingers off. Mm. And you get, like, the first person view of him doing it.
I always hate having my digits bit off.
Yeah. So, Luca, what do you think? What's one of your favorites from VHS?
I like the one when they're in the woods in the second one. And this thing keeps, like, they keep half seeing it.
That was the first one.
Oh, that was the first one?
That's the first one. That's the second story.
Well, then I like that one in the first one.
that was a really good story.
The alien one and the second one creeped me out, too.
That's the apartment one, right?
No, that's the one with the kids.
That's the one.
The alien abduction and invasion.
Alien,
which that was,
alien sleepover.
Yeah, it was. That was. I like that one. I've only watched it once though, because I get sad because the dog.
I was gonna say the dog.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, you know what? As you watch it, you actually see a lot of the alien like invasion. Like one of the scenes when they're in water, you actually see one of the aliens in water looking at them. So. It's worth a rewatch.
All right, yeah, I'll watch it again. It creeped me out, though.
One anthology movie we all are aware of is Trick or Treat. They're actually making another one.
Good.
Rumor mill says. There's going to be another one.
And they're smart. They waited like 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
No shit.
I saw that actually in the theater before it was released to DVD because it didn't have a big opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the director actually opened up the film and talked a bit about it and why it was taking so long to come out and it's only been in festivals. And he was a really cool guy and then I think maybe 4 months later it finally came out.
Yeah, I love that movie when it came out. And they've done such a good job of keeping... That, like, kind of a cult classic, too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they had a really good soundtrack done for it. It was, like, original music. It wasn't, it wasn't bullshit that they pulled from radios or anything like that.
They also had, like, recognizable actors in it, too.
Yeah, they did.
And the story was good.
And let's not forget, Anna Paquin was extremely hot.
Yeah.
She was, yeah.
And the twist, yeah. I would have never seen that coming. Like,
no,
she plays the
thing,
and then all of a sudden she's the fucking...
Yes,
they're the monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good turn.
Was good.
Yeah.
And like always, that would be a party we're invited to.
Yeah,
where we get feasted up by the
Like when we're all hot girls, they're like, "Why don't you just come alone?" Yeah, that's funny.
No, sweetie.
You got chicken wings?
I'll be there. Well, Luca.
Okay.
So has anyone seen? So we're on Trick or Treat. Has anyone seen Trick or Treat?
Oh, I own it.
Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
I looked up a review on that, and people, when it came out, was like, this movie fucking sucks. But if you watch, it's like, this movie's awesome.
Yeah, it's got Skippy in there from, what's his face?
Whatever TV show that
Family
was,
Ties.
It was a Family Ties.
So that was what everyone was hating on, but I thought he was
Skippy
pretty good as a little bitch of a character, and...
Yeah, you win.
And what was the guitarist's name in the band that he loved? Eddie?
I don't remember.
Eddie something.
I haven't watched it in a while.
Himsa, the band Himsa, on their first album, their guitarist went as that name, as opposed to his real name, I think. But I thought that was kind of cool.
Funny.
That he went as
and that name. We're all forgetting that movie had one thing I absolutely love.
Boobs.
Mass murder in a big party.
Had both of those. Yeah.
Freddy versus Jason.
Exactly. The cornfield.
Yeah.
Okay, one anthology I want to bring up, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I really hope I'm not the only one out of all of you who've seen it. It's called All Hallows Eve.
Sorry, Sammy Kerr.
Okay.
All Hallows, no, I haven't seen that one.
All Hallows Eve.
All Hallows Eve is basically a very, very low budget, independent film. It's kind of a found footage film. I'll lay the premise out. The main arc revolves around a woman who's babysitting these two kids on Halloween. And when the kids come back from trick-or-treating, one of them has this VHS tape that someone put in their bag. And they want to watch what's on the tape. So as they watch it... Mm. Yes.
I'm reading the synopsis now.
Look at the cover.
Yeah, we're all doing the same
thing. That looks good. Look at that creepy-ass clown.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I just watch it.
All right, please do tell me some about this. It looks very interesting.
Not too much. Says too much, though. Says something about...
It's a two-minute reading.
I'm not going to give away the ending.
Well, I hope not.
I will say that some of the stories... One of the stories got really just smashed on the internet because it was really cheesy. It involved... basically, I don't remember if it was called Alien Home Invasion, but it involved like a...
Sounds like a crappy computer game.
Yeah. it basically involved a woman being home alone in a new house in the middle of nowhere. Her husband is an artist who just moved out there with her. She starts, you know, there's this big kind of like EMP kind of thing, which cuts out the power. And then... lo and behold, you realize that she's being stalked by an alien. And
what? Say what? Huh.
You have to watch it because
is he trying to probe her?
Yeah, he is.
Oh,
actually.
Snap.
Mm. He's going to get him some.
I will say this. I have to critique how shitty. It's like the alien had its own choreography as it was walking. It was almost like it was... It reminds me of you when you're singing.
Well.
When you're singing one of our songs and you do the I Am Swimming part and you kind of...
Oh, yeah. I do like his Hush loves it.
She basically, the alien, as he walks through the house, he does this like swimming move motion and it looks like he's fucking scuba diving.
Nice.
This is in All Hallows Eve?
Yeah.
I love
now I have just diving. More points to watch this.
Yeah, I need to download this and watch it.
I have it. We can screen it.
Alright.
I really love clown horror movies. I don't know what it is. It's just something about it that's appealing.
Your favorite clown horror movie of all time?
Oh, fuck. Killer Clowns from
Outer Space. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
That's the best one ever.
I don't like it because I don't like things that look like puppets.
I would go with It minus the ending.
Okay, so the next segment of the podcast is rare movies and hard to find movies. And my movie for this podcast is Clown House.
Ooh.
Seeing as we were just talking about clowns. This movie came out, I believe, in the late 80s, early 90s. I remember seeing it on a VHS tape, and it has not been released yet to DVD. And I think one of the reasons why is because that the director molested one of the actors in the film.
Oh.
Okay. And he was charged with that. And I actually think he filmed it too.
Oh.
And he was... He oh, was yeah.
That in this movie?
Not in the movie. He did that like it's in the trailer. Worst extras ever on a DVD.
You're a good person to the worst ones.
So this movie has not been released to DVD yet, because I think maybe that's the reason. But then he got out of jail and directed some more movies, which are the movie Powder and
Jeepers Creepers
and Jeepers Creepers 2.
Is he doing Jeepers Creepers 3?
He's trying to. I think he has been.
God, that movie's been trying to come out.
But as you can see in these movies, though, in Clown House, you do get to see a few boys walking around without their shirts on.
Ooh.
And it's you kind of pick up these things after the whole case and everything. Then you see Jeepers Creepers, and the creeper in that movie is going after boys only. If you notice, in the first one, he only goes pretty much after the Justin Long character. And then in the second one, he's only going after the boy characters in that movie, too. But Clown House is a movie about three escaped lunatics run into a circus that's going around in the town. And they kill the clowns and take over their makeup and costumes.
Larry, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
The insane asylum that they are at, if I remember the plot correctly, do they not take them to the circus for good behavior in that movie?
You know, I don't remember that.
Okay.
It eludes me because I haven't seen the movie in a while because it's a rare movie. Which I might actually be buying this weekend because Wizard World Comic Con is coming around and there's a lot of like bootleg DVD guys there.
If they have two, get me one.
Oh, they most definitely have more than one. So I'll pick up that movie while I'm there. It's a pretty creepy movie. Like Sam Rockwell's in it.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of his early roles.
When did this come out?
I think 89, maybe 90. Clown House.
Oh.
I will pick it up once I'm at Comic Con.
Yes, that is a very, very, really disturbing movie. I mean, there's one scene that I will always remember, and it's as just how freaky it is, like being in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The main character, the main protagonist, I forget his name, was looking out the window and he just sees the clowns playing on his like little jungle gym.
Yeah, that was creepy.
And it's just like, Jesus Christ. Like they're just jumping on the swings.
Yeah, and this kid is totally afraid of clowns in the movie. That's like his biggest fear, because I think earlier in the movie, a clown got into his face when he was a lot younger, and he always had the fear of clowns since then. So then he revisits the circus, and you know the clowns freak him out again.
Wow, all right. The psychiatrist told him to do that?
Maybe.
Okay, so the last thing I want to discuss for this podcast, very productive, very different podcast, I will say. The AV Club released a list today, or at least a list that was brought to my attention today. And basically this list was the 10 greatest horror movies of the 21st century.
And the list is terribly wrong. terribly wrong.
You know
wrong.
What?
Well, let's read the list first.
Yeah, let's... Okay.
Then bitch about it.
Hold your comments till after.
All right. It's going to be tough.
Okay, number 10 is Drag Me to Hell. Number 9, Mulholland Drive. Number 8, Shaun of the Dead. Number 7, Babadook.
The Babadook.
I'm dumb. Number 6, it's been a long day, folks. Number 6, It Follows. Number 5, Let the Right One In. Number 4, The Descent. Number 3, 28 Days Later. Number 2, Pan's Labyrinth. And number 1, drum roll please, somebody. Cabin in the Woods.
What?
Okay.
Hell yeah. Cabin in the Woods is awesome.
Number 1. Because
I'm going to dissect the fuck out of this.
Okay.
So of the 2000s, they're saying of the 2000s and on.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I agree with about 3 movies on this list.
Yeah. Alright, we got it. Okay.
I like The Descent. Well, I think The Descent is a good one.
The Descent was a really good movie.
Yeah.
28 Days Later was cool.
Okay. Drag Me to Hell
at
was
the time. I mean,
Mulholland Drive is not a horror
that
movie.
That should not be even close
Shaun
to that
of
list.
The Dead was awesome,
it's
but
a comedy.
That's a comedy horror.
Yeah.
But it's still a horror
the
movie.
The Babadook. Babadook shouldn't be on this list.
Has anyone seen Babadook?
Yes.
Yeah. It was okay. The last like 10 minutes were like, okay, that was cool. But the whole story before that was like, I want to fucking drop kick this little kid in the face.
Did See, that's why the World
of it follows. You know, that's super brand new. It was, you know.
Yeah, you know what? That one is very, very fresh on the list.
Like, I mean, you couldn't find something else. Like, that doesn't make
let
sense.
The right one in. The original, the remake. I wouldn't put that on the list regardless. Either of them together. You could put them both on there.
I wouldn't put them on there.
The Descent, that was good. Mm-hmm. 28 Days Later, I don't know about you guys. I know a lot of people like that movie. I didn't personally like it. Pan's Labyrinth was fucking awesome.
But I wouldn't say it's a horror movie. It's a fantasy thriller.
It's a fantasy, yeah. Cabin in the Woods. And Cabin in the Woods was just awesome. So
that's what I mean.
I got no complaint on that one. But
number one?
Best movie in the 2000s, Cabin in the Woods. Man. I don't know. Anyone else there?
All right, I'll go through.
Who do you think is number one, then?
Now, does it have to be on this list, or is it your own?
I was just going to go through the list.
Of this list, I would...
Where the list going? I gotta read these.
Of the list, I would probably go Cabin in the Woods. And I would probably go those on one and two of this list. Shaun of the Dead would probably be higher. But that's a comedy horror. It's not like a straight horror
movie.
That's
a different list altogether.
So, I mean, if it was a comedy horror movie, Cabin in the Woods would be on there. But as just a straight horror movie, I wouldn't put it on this at all. But I did like that movie a lot. Don't get me wrong. Sorry, I just had to. Mulholland Drive, are you fucking kidding me?
So we could all agree that Mulholland Drive shouldn't be
All right, I said my piece.
That's going to be his whole ride home.
Mulholland Drive.
Fucking Mulholland Drive, what are you, high on crack cocaine?
And we softened you with her boobs before that, so
Yeah, that wasn't scary, that was just boobies.
Yeah. Larry, what do you think?
I think Drag Me to Hell is good on this list. It's not your original... Well, it's a new Sam Raimi movie that's not Spider-Man or his Evil Dead movies. Mulholland Drive, I really don't think it's a horror movie. Shaun of the Dead, yeah, it's funny and everything, but it is a good horror movie altogether. You have the great set pieces for it. The Babadook, I thought was really creepy. I'm not sure it belongs on this list. It Follows, I do think it should be on this list. I've said last podcast how I feel about that movie, and I loved it, and I think it's something new. And yeah, it may be a newer movie on this list, but if you can tell me what's the best superhero movie you've seen in the 21st century...
Man of Steel.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's how I feel, because that's only been a year, and I can...
Punisher with Dolph Lundgren.
I can honestly say that Guardians of the Galaxy...
Respect.
Is probably like the best one of the Marvel movies, and that only came out a year ago. So I think if a new movie comes out, yeah, it should be on this list. Let the Right One In, I did like more than the Swedish version. I think it followed a little bit more with the book, and I think the directing was a bit better.
There's a book?
Yes.
Yeah, it's from
a
book.
It was a really good book.
All right, The Descent, I like The Descent, and I do think it should be on this one. It was very claustrophobic. And going in, I didn't know if there was monsters in this movie or not. I thought maybe it was more of a mental thing. 28 Days Later, I do think it was great because it reinvented... I know they're infected humans / zombies / horde. But I will say that I enjoyed 28 Weeks Later more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pan's Labyrinth, I think, is a beautiful movie. I just don't think it's really a horror movie. It's more of a fairy tale, sci-fi, fantasy kind of movie. And Cabin in the Woods, I actually would consider that the number one, just because I think it kind of did what Scream did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I would throw Tucker and Dale vs. Evil on this list. Because
right, hell yeah. If you're going to do that, then do that.
But which one do you think is better?
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, both those are really good. I don't know.
Cabin in the Woods.
Have you ever watched there's a point of view from just the kids the whole time? Have you watched it in the special features?
No, I haven't.
If you watch it, it's the point of view from the kids the whole entire movie, and it's like a 40, 45 minute long movie. And it's like, they really do look like fucking crazy people, and it's like, when you look at it, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That's pretty cool. I gotta check that out.
Really, you know.
The wood chipper part is,
are you okay? These people just start killing themselves all over my property.
Going through this list, Drag Me to Hell, I actually really did enjoy. Sam Raimi has these really, I don't know how to describe them, but the characters in them have these quirky qualities. You know, in this case, the gypsy woman. You know, parts where she is, you know, trying to bite, you know, the main character, and she loses her teeth, yeah. and she ends up, like, sucking on her chin, and that big drip of saliva comes off. Mm. That was very...
hot.
Yeah.
Is the correct word you're looking for.
I pop would. I agree with Mulholland Drive, even though some people have said that the last, like, few minutes of Mulholland Drive, where that, you know, homeless guy pops out and, you know, it's the big jump scare kind of gets people. You can't take that and consider it a horror movie, though. Shaun of the Dead definitely should be on this list, maybe even a little higher. Because in Shaun of the Dead 2, there were a lot of tips to the cap to some really great Romero movies.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one is when the character of David gets ripped apart.
Classic.
That, I'm trying to remember which... I think that was in Day of the Dead.
Rhodes. Captain Rhodes gets ripped apart.
I didn't see Babadook. So...
The Babadook.
I can't really...
It's creepy, and I think...
Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
All right, I shall check it out. It Follows. I really did enjoy. I did watch it a second time to see if there was other things I missed. And the movie still held up. Like, I still loved it as much as I did the first time I saw it. Let the Right One In, I absolutely fucking loved. Especially the pool scene.
Oh, yeah, the pool scene's
yeah. great.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Descent was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
As Larry said, very claustrophobic movie. And the whole beginning of...
Second one, right?
No.
Yeah, they did make a second one.
Yeah. The second one's actually not bad.
Follow along right where the first
one
was.
Like,
yeah, it does.
The opening scene of The Descent, though, is very intense.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it and you'll see what I'm talking about. 28 Days Later, I really did enjoy. The thing I loved about it is, you know, it has that same first season of Walking Dead vibe to it. You wake up and your entire world is just different, you know. You wake up to desolation and not knowing what the hell's going on, and then some rabid pack of people start chasing you.
I say that alone is scary, waking up and everything is fucking
different. And
yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth, yeah, more of a fantasy movie. I give the tip of the cap to Guillermo del Toro, though, because, you know, we're all fans of The Strain, and the fact that his creatures and the shit that comes out of his mind is amazing.
Oh,
it's dark and beautiful at the same time.
If this does deserve a place on the list, I think it should just be a little lower, you know, like maybe upper, you know, maybe between 6 and 10.
Upper to the right, left.
Back into the left. Cabin in the Woods. Okay. Cabin in the Woods was a fucking phenomenal movie. That was actually a horror movie. My fiance hates horror, and she actually saw this movie with me. I felt cheated, though, when they picked what was going to be the cause of death for the kids in the cabin. I felt kind of cheated. Like, oh, I wanted to see, you know, the pinhead type guy, or the Japanese ghosts.
But that's what makes it so good.
I was going to say, because then you get to see them all. All at the same fucking time.
The merman was
the best.
Yeah. It was one of the best. Like, oh, fuck hell.
Oh, the clown was actually the best, too, when it starts just pulling.
Do you know how many times I slowed down the scene where all the elevator doors open? Like, I slowed down, and I'm, like, looking at every single thing that's on the list, and I'm just like...
Which, that's what I love about it, too, is because, like, you watch it, and you're like, ah, oh, fuck, so what? I'm going to have to wait for, like, a second one to see...
Yeah.
Like... Yeah,
oh,
like
no.
The creep. Yeah,
no then, second one. No. Right?
Oh, oh my god. And it out and stab someone.
Ending was perfect.
Yeah, not
perfect.
I thought that movie was phenomenal.
And the Sigourney Weaver showing up at the end of the movie was just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
One movie that I'm really kind of disappointed isn't on the list is You're Next.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good sleeper type of movie that you know, it may not be like your typical horror movie, but it was fucking great.
Yeah.
To limit it to 10, though, is pretty tough. I mean, there's like...
But Mulholland Drive!
To me, like... to me, like, Funny Games should be on this list. That's a fucked up movie. I mean...
The original or the remake?
Well, it's shot for shot.
The reboot.
But
the reboot.
I like the original. I mean, they're the same fucking movie.
You know, I might get some shit for this, but I think Sinister should have been on this list.
Sinister was good. I liked it. I can't wait for the second one.
Sinister was such an original idea, and
Insidious.
Okay, I like Insidious, and I'm surprised that Insidious is not on, because that's old school.
Insidious was a good one.
How did either of those movies not make it, and fucking Mulholland Drive is fucking staring at me at number 9?
Well, I don't get how a movie like Insidious and stuff like that didn't make it, but The Babadook is. I feel like some of them, they were just like, these are really popular new movies, and that they toss them on there. Because I feel like Insidious was better than The Babadook.
And that's my issue with the list, is that as much as I love movies like Shaun of the Dead and Pan's Labyrinth, I'm thinking about movies that make me question the sound that's coming from my closet when I'm in a room alone. I'm talking about the stuff that's got me, like, really fucking, like, on my toes about what's going to happen. Like, that's a horror movie to me. Mulholland Drive is not one of those things.
No, I would say I agree with Shaun of the Dead.
The Descent definitely got me, like, a few times where I'm just like, oh, shit, that just came out of there, and it's bloody, and it's gory, and there's girls.
See, I like The Descent, how I like, again, like, Funny Games. It gives you that anxiety. Like,
yeah,
to me, if it can make you feel more than just, like, cringe and actually feel, like, anxious when you're not even...
You feel like you're in those tunnels.
Yes.
Like,
yes. And Insidious does it too, like right from the very beginning when they just have that music at that hype, and you're just like, oh shit, we're going in.
That's good. Another movie that I would have really liked to see on this list.
Other than Mulholland Drive, yes, please.
Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek? 1, 2, and 7
original reboot?
No, Wolf Creek, the first Wolf Creek. A lot of filmmakers praise it for being just truly authentically scary, because in the Australian outback, they said, there's fucking nothing there.
Yeah.
No lights, no one, it's almost like in space, no one can hear you scream. Shut up.
I think another movie I might put on here too, actually, is a remake, and I might get shit for this one too, is The Hills Have Eyes, which I think is better than the original.
It's so terrible. It's terrible to watch. Like,
okay, the remake of Hills Have Eyes was good. I enjoyed it. The second one was absolute shit. One thing I loved in the remake was right before, I forget the actor's name. He was the same guy.
Buffalo Bill.
You're gonna put some lotion on me before you connect me on fire. God damn it, Larry. When you hear them screaming, "Daddy!"
That was creepy. Oh, it was.
And you know, that movie had a lot of fucked up scenes too, like the breastfeeding scene.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. And
but also, I mean, this is tough to even just break it down to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, I feel like this is also the AV club, so it's gonna be a lot. That's why I mean, like,
hipster movies.
Yeah. I mean,
the internet has voted on the best horror films of the 21st century.
Yeah, well, the internet lies, so what is that?
Mulholland Drive. That baffles me.
How much you want to bet half the people just saw the cover of Mulholland Drive and was just like, oh, that chick looks creepy.
Have you guys seen the Laid to Rest?
Yes.
Laid to Rest 1 and 2.
Yes.
Those are fucking awesome.
Those are great.
Those are really good.
Those movies can be cited for reinventing or reinvigorating
the
slasher genre.
Yeah.
I was actually Chrome Skull... at Yodi.
Yes, I do remember those now.
Yeah, and I had to take the mask off because a certain Matt Wolf hit me in the face with his guitar and broke the mask.
Again, the end of the first one makes you feel anxiety like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. When they're in that goddamn grocery store or whatever.
And she's getting those texts, and it's just, Jesus Christ. Like, he's just so mean to her. Get the tapes, Piggy! Get the tapes!
Yeah, no, I remember my roommate Dan showed me that movie, and I'd never seen it before. He's like, oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. And I watched it, I was like, holy shit! Like, that was awesome. I do have to give it up for that movie.
And John Dies at the End is another...
that's a good one.
I haven't seen that
movie.
That's a good one.
And you know what?
I thought it was awesome.
You know what? We're all missing a very crucial trilogy.
Trilogy, huh?
Hatchet.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Hatchet, because you know what? I don't know if we touched on this the first podcast. Hatchet was the matchup between the Jasons.
Oh, well, yeah.
Had Derek Beers and Kane Hodder.
In the third one, right?
Yeah, in the third one.
That was pretty sweet.
No, again, I thought Hatchet was an awesome series because even kind of like with slashers, by the third one, it was making fun of itself.
Yeah.
The first one, it's kind of making fun
of itself.
You
want your balls hanging up on a tree? Yeah, like they do a great job of kind of going back to all the old school slasher fun kind of ways of doing things.
Well, and you know what? It's the thing I loved about Hatchet is, you know, yeah, it was a movie that had a good plot and, you know, it didn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, any movie where Richard Riley, who's been an actor for, you know, decades, gets his fucking head ripped open like a fucking, you know, like someone's pulling back a mousetrap is amazing.
That's pretty good. So is there anyone else going over the list?
What do you mean? So, Michelle, you went over it?
I kind of have.
Pindy?
I kind of have it. But I think we all kind of... Kevin was awesome.
Drag Me to Hell, I mean, I love Sam Raimi, so that was definitely, I mean, awesome. Especially when it came out. I mean, I watched it like a month ago, and I mean, I still love it, but I mean, it still holds its value with, like, again, like the overall, like, production and, like, the cool shots of, like, her handkerchief, like, that comes up from underneath the car, and it, like, has like the mold of her face in it when it like hits her windshield and shit. Like it's.
And let's not forget the ending of that movie.
Oh and yeah,
they didn't jip us. That was good.
Yeah, the ending of that movie was just seeing like Justin Long's face at the end of that movie. Like, what the fuck did I just see?
Then credits roll.
Yeah,
it's Mulholland Drive. We've already said is Luco's favorite movie of all time.
Yeah,
Shaun of the Dead, I do have to say, I really do like on the list.
I know what I'm getting Luco for his birthday.
Oh, I'm going to have 15 copies of
Special Edition.
The Babadook, I thought was, I mean, it was cool, but I don't think it, like, again, I think a movie like Insidious or something like that definitely deserves to be on this over the Babadook. It Follows, I was very much on the fence about, but I have to say, Larry, you opened my eyes.
I was saying, open your eyes.
You've opened my eyes to It Follows.
I'm a believer.
Let the Right One In. I haven't watched it in years, but I remember the last time I watched it. It was just very. I liked the ending. I thought there were some cool kind of like twists to it and things, but it was a different kind of story. Which I did enjoy, but I don't know. I'd have to watch it again to see if I really would want it to be on this list. I mean, I feel like if it doesn't stand out to me, I wouldn't run it on this list anyway.
Yes, there's no.
Thank you. The Descent, again, fucking awesome. 28 Days Later, I like the first one because, like, again, the kind of the feeling of being alone. And, like, the second one, I feel like there's more. 28 Weeks Later is awesome.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I feel like it's borderline almost action.
Oh, true.
Pan's Labyrinth, again, I don't think it should be on the list, but at the same time, there's some fucking brutal parts to that movie. When you think about, like, the soldiers, and yeah, I would say, like, when he smashes the dude's face in with the bottle.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's fucking gruesome.
But that's, I mean, violence and horror.
I would just say that's two different things. A movie can be violent and not be a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And then Cabin of Woods. Honestly, yeah, I think number one, it sits pretty there. I fucking
of these,
definitely. Well, Cabin in the Woods.
I mean, Cabin in the Woods. I see
awesome.
Like, okay, if I'm gonna make this list, you know what?
It was fun.
Cabin in the Woods.
It was fun. It was funny. It was bloody. It had any kind of
cliche.
And yeah, horror. Exactly. It had every horror fucking
here's the
monster
the
and killer.
Weird.
Yeah.
here's what I loved about Cabin in the Woods is it was a fucking curveball from the beginning because you see the trailer for it and you think it's a bunch of dumb teenagers getting chopped up. When I got in the theater and I was watching the beginning of that movie, I'm like, are we in the right fucking theater? And then Cabin in the Woods, I'm like, okay.
I was going to say, honestly, I had no idea it was going to be as fucking good as it was. Because I remember, like okay, it's going to be a slasher movie. Like,
and
that's
cool.
And
it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
It had the comedy parts. And
it was funny without being, like, you know, hacky. And
even Thor was great in it. I mean.
Yeah, we found out what Thor's weakness was.
Seriously, though, like, I don't know.
Dirt bikes. Fences.
Electrified fences.
But yeah, like, Hatchet, I think Hatchet should be on there. Again, it's... But to me, I like Adam Green as a director. I like Frozen and a lot of the other movies he's done, so it's...
Disney
movie?
No.
Yes, it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, you know, I think there are, obviously... I know a lot of you, some of you didn't get to see the We're Still Here. That should be on this list because it is a very...
The trailer looks really good.
It is.
Yeah, it is a good
movie. And you know what? Nowadays, you don't see that many horror movies taking place like in the 70s and 80s. And that's one of the things I really loved about the movie was just the setting, the time setting it was in. And
the age of the actors, too,
yeah,
is good. It's not like a newlywed couple. It's some veteran actors and they're in their 40s or 50s. So we're not seeing it as like a young couple or they're all like, oh my God. And it's not like that.
And again, the last 15 to 20 minutes of that movie are just amazing.
Yeah. It's a good, good movie.
Are you writing this down? Okay.
So, I think personally, if I made this list, Cabin in the Woods would be in the top 10. It wouldn't, I don't know if it'd be at 1. Shaun of the Dead might be at like 10, but none of those other movies would be in there.
What would be your number 1 then? What would be the number 1?
I mean, I'd have to sit down and think about it, but... We've gone over a bunch of them that are awesome that aren't on this list. The Insidious, The Collector, The Collection. That story was awesome. The Laid to Rest movies were great.
Yeah. See, even when you brought up Laid to Rest, I totally forgot about those. That's, I mean, those movies were awesome.
That's why it has it all written down. Got to keep it in that old.
Yeah, there was just so much good stuff.
Okay, so. Anyway, thank you guys so much. We will be back in a couple of weeks, and we will see you then. Follow us on Twitter at Pinheads Horror. Like us on Facebook at Pinheads of Horror.
Boom.
And again, we'll see you guys soon. Thank you very much.